Brachos Daf Nun Beis. We are in the midst discussion of why we need to be told that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, that we say the bracha over the wine before the bracha of the actual kiddush itself. So the Gemara said that either you could say it's before the baskel, or even if it's after the baskel, it could be going like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that we don't pay attention to a baskel when it comes to paskening the halacha. So Tosfos asks, well, if that's the case, why, in fact, do we paskin like Beis Hillel all the time? I mean, the Gemara does say the reason why we paskin like Beis Hillel is because of the baskel. So Tosfos explains that it's different. That if the roiv, if the majority is going in one direction, which is the case of Beis Hillel and Reish Lakish, Beis Hillel was the majority, they were the roiv, so then we can go by the baskel to paskin like Beis Hillel. But if the baskel is going against the roiv, so then we don't paskin like the baskel. And the Tana over here, who had to go out of his way to tell you that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, even though the baskel was already there, because he holds that we wouldn't go by the baskel, even though Beis Hillel is the roiv, is because he holds that Beis Shammai were sharper, and therefore we wouldn't necessarily go by the roiv. Tosfos also asks that why is it that once we pass like Beis Hillel, that you're supposed to say the bracha of Bari Perek Ofen, and then you say the bracha of Avdolah or Kiddush or whatever it is? So why is it that by benching we wait till after we're finished benching to say the Bari Perek Ofen? So Tosfos says it's different, because by benching, the whole idea of benching is that you're going away from eating. You're finished. You're departing from your eating and drinking. So therefore, it would be considered a hefsek between the bracha and the drinking. So therefore, you have no choice to make the bracha after you bench. So now the Gemara says further. Sorry, Beis Shammai, Beis Yem, a default. Beis Shammai holds that saying the bracha over the day comes first. In the time, we have a verse that says, Anechaz Beis Shammai, Soi Shabbos, someone comes home after Shabbos is over. Mevarech Al-Yayin, Ve'al-Amor, Ve'al-Besamim, so you should make Bari Perek Ofen, and Bari Ma'iri Ha'esh, and Bari Minim Samim, V'achachachem Ravdol, and then he says, Hamavdil. Bim Eimai Elokai Sechol, if he only has one cup of wine, Manichal Achar Mazal, Mishal Shalom Kum Na'achar, then he should eat Lava Malka first, so that way he'll be able to bench and say Avdol over the cup of wine. So even though you're not supposed to eat before, even though you're not supposed to, like Tosfos points out from a Gemara in Pesachim, that you're not allowed to eat before Avdol, right? But that's talking, and not only that, but the Gemara over there says, that there was an Amira that he didn't have a cup of wine with which to make Avdallah, so he didn't eat until the next day, until he was able to make Avdallah. So Tosfos says that over here it's different. Over here you have a cup of wine with which to make Avdallah, just that if you use it for Avdallah right now, so it's like this. You could make Avdallah right now, and then it would be mutter for you to eat. Right? Just when you eat, you won't be able to bench over a cup of wine. And this Gemara over here, this Bryce is going with the opinion that benching requires, it must be said over a cup of wine. So therefore, since it's within your rights, so to speak, to say Havdalah right now and to bench, just that's going to cause you to bench without a cup. So therefore we say, so first eat before Havdalah and then be able to bench and say Havdalah over a cup. But if, let's say, you have no cup of wine at all, so then you're not able to say Havdalah. So then we say that you have to wait, you can't eat until the next day when you'll be able to make Havdalah. Tosfos has another approach, that was just the chumrah, that if you had no cup of wine, you would be allowed to eat and you wouldn't have to wait till the next day. La halacha, the Mishabura says that someone who's strong and, you know, is able to go until Sunday morning without eating, right, more than, you know, until Sunday, you know, past Sunday day, right, and according to some opinions, even just past Sunday at midday, you wouldn't have to wait, but at least to wait till the end of Sunday morning. Right, the Mishabura says that you should be machmir like the first approach of Tosfos, that it's mamish an obligation, maker adin, to not eat until you get your cup of wine to make avdallah. But if he says, yeah, you know, you have a weak constitution or whatever, it's hard for you and you're not able to do it, so then go, you're allowed to eat even since right now you're unable to make avdallah. Right. Okay. So says the Gemara like this. So the Gemara's kasha is that we see that the bracha of Hamavdil comes after the bracha of Bari Perek Ofen. And according to Beis Shammai, it should be the opposite. That just like the bracha of Kiddush comes before the bracha of Bari Perek Ofen, so the bracha of Hamavdil should come before the bracha of Bari Perek Ofen. Says the Gemara, who says this is Beis Shammai? Don't Beis Hillel? Maybe it's going like Beis Hillel. Let's talk about that. If there's no way to say that it's Beis Hillel, because it says first to say Bairei Ma'irei Ha'esh, and then only afterwards Bairei Ma'irei Ha'esh. Man Shammai Le'Islei Ha'esvar, and who holds like that? Beis Shammai. It's Beis Shammai. The Sani we have in Raisa. Everybody agrees, says Rabbi Yehuda, that where you're going to be benching and saying Avdol over the same cup of wine, that first you should bench, and at the end you say Hamavdil, Hamonechliku. So what's the machlekes? The order of the bracha over the candle and the bracha over the spices, over the incense. Beishami Abim Mar Vachkaf. Beishami says Bari Me'ayrei Ha'esh comes before Bari Me'ayrei Besamim. Beisol Abim Besamim Yachkaf Mar. And Beisol says Besamim comes before Me'ayrei Ha'esh. So since we see that the Braisa is going that Me'ayrei Ha'esh comes before Besamim, it has to be going like Beishami, and therefore the kasha is a good kasha. Who says that price is going like Beis Shammai in accordance with Yehuda? The one Beis Hillel, he'll be the mayor. Maybe it's going like the Beis Hillel, right, of the opinion of Rabbi Meir, because it's a machlokes between Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, what exactly Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were arguing about. And the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah that we had was going like Rabbi Meir, that everybody agrees that Ma'ir comes before Beis Shammai, right? That's the way we had it in the Mishnah. That everybody agrees that the bracha of the Ner, the bracha of Bayer Me'ayri Ha'esh comes before the bracha of Samim. Just the question was whether Mazain is first or whether Mazain, whether Mazain is second or whether Mazain is third. So why can't we say that it's going like Beis Hillel in accordance with Meir? Says Gemara Leisang with Aydach. No, there's no way to say that. In the Mishnah, in Rabbi Meir's Mishnah, can't say that it's going like Beis Hillel in accordance with Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah says that according to Beis Shammai, it goes candle, benching, besamim, mavdil. And according to Beis Hillel, it goes candle, besamim, benching, mavdil. And the Braisa that we just quoted before says that everybody agrees that the mazon, that says that the benching comes first. So obviously, the Braisa that says that when you're going to be benching and saying Havdalah over the same cup of wine, that it says to put the benching before any of the other brachos, can't be going like the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Meir. Shmami no, the Bishami will Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that everybody, both Bishami and Bezil, agree that the benching brachos come first, and that the whole machlok is whether Bishamim comes first or before Ma'ere Ha'esh, or whether Ma'ere Ha'esh comes first. And Beis Shammai is the one who holds the Ma'ere Ha'esh comes before Abayim and Abisamim. And that's what the Bryce says. So it must be going like Beis Shammai. So therefore the Kasha is a good Kasha. How come Abayim Priyagavin is coming before Hamavdil? According to Beis Shammai, the Chayr should be opposite. That Hamavdil should come before Abayim Priyagavin. Welcome Kasha. So it's a good Kasha. So says the Gemara, I've got a good answer. Beis Shammai says that the bringing in of the day is different from the taking out of the day. When it comes to bringing in the day with Kiddush, so the earlier that you bring it in, the better. And when you're taking the day out, the more you push it off and delay it is better. So that it shouldn't appear as if it's a burden on us. So even though Beis Shammai holds by Kiddush that you say the bracha of Kiddush Shabbos before the bracha of Rabbi Yagavin, but by Avdalah where you're taking leave of the Shabbos, so then it makes more sense, says Beis Shammai, to put it at the end to show that not a burden. Fine. So that's the teretz. So now says Gemara, Vesami Beis Shammai, Brichas Mazon, Tuna Kais. Beis Shammai holds that benching, right? We said before that the Braisa was going like Beis Shammai in accordance with Yehuda, and we said that if there's only one cup of wine, so then you first eat, so that you'll be able to bench and say Avdalah over the cup of wine, even though we're waiving the prohibition of not eating before Avdalah. So that shows that Beis Shammai must hold that benching must be said over a cup of wine. Beis Shammai holds that you have to bench over a cup of wine. Well, it's not. We saw in the Mishnah. If you get wine after the meal, if that's the only cup of wine you have, make your bracha over the wine, and then make your bracha over the benching, and then bench. My love, doesn't it mean that you make the bracha over the wine and drink it, so you're not going to be benching over a cup of wine? You make the bracha with the wine, and then you leave it, you bench, and then you drink it after the benching. But when you make a bracha, you have to take a taste. The timely, so you'll taste it. What do you mean? If you taste it, then you make it pagum. It's not usable anymore for kiddush and benching, etc. Becomes pagum, becomes defective. The timely beyond this, so you taste a little bit of the, you know, that it spilled on your hand. Wait a minute, but it has to have a proper amount. So if you tasted some of it, so you made it lose some of its amount. There's a little bit more than the requisite amount of a revis. What do you mean? The Mishnah said that there's only that cup. So the Gemara, two cups you don't have, but one, it's a little bit more than one. What do you mean? Wait a minute, we have a brisa from Rabbi Chiya, which is the very authoritative, authentic brises, that Beis Shammai says that you make the bracha of the wine, and you drink it, and then you bench. Clearly indicating that Beis Shammai does not hold that you need to bench over a cup of wine. So it must be a machlagis tanayim, according to Beis Shammai's opinion, whether Beis Shammai holds that benching needs to be said over a cup of wine or not. Tosis points out that if you only have a pogum cup of wine, so then you still should say Avdalah or Kiddush or benching or whatever it is over the cup of wine. So what you do is that you pour a tiny little drop of water or a tiny little drop of wine in it to kind of fix it up, right? Based on, he brings that from based on Yerushalmi. And just what's brought down in the Rishon and the Poskim is that if let's say the dilution of the wine is to the point where if you add even the slightest drop of water, so then it's not going to be called wine anymore, so then you would really be stuck. Then you would really be stuck. And the truth is that we Poskim, that if you in fact have no way for whatever reason of fixing up your pugum cup of wine, so then you know, you have to bench over it or say Kiddush over it or say Avdol over it nonetheless. Because we paskin that the din of not being pogum is l'chatchilo. Okay, so now, says the Gemara further, B'shamay Oimrim, B'chol Yitron Rabbanon B'shamay Oimrim, Noit L'medam V'chakach Moiz Genes HaKois, B'shamay says, we saw in the Mishnah that first you wash your hands, and then afterwards you mix your wine with the water and do that whole thing. Because if you'll say, so now why does Beis Shammai say you have to wash your hands before diluting your cup of wine? Because if you'll dilute the cup of wine first, so we're worried that since your hands will still be tummy, so we're worried that the liquid which will be on the back, on the outside of the cup, will become tummy from your hands, and then it'll wind up making the cup tummy as well. Which we don't want that to be. So therefore we tell you, wash your hands first, so that your hands won't be tummy. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. But the tummy, why do you have to mention the fact that we're worried that your hands will make the liquid on the outside of the cup tummy, which will in turn make the cup tummy? Just say that your hands will make the cup tummy. Says the Gemara, says the Gemara, Yadayim Shnei Yosein, that hands are considered secondary tummy. And it's something which is second level tumah cannot make a third level tumah when we're dealing with non sanctified and non truma, just regular old stuff, food, whatever. Unless it's through the medium of liquid, because midrabanan, any liquid which becomes tame becomes a rishon, it becomes a first level tumah. So that's why Beis Shammai says that you have to wash your hands first before diluting the cup of wine. Says, no, first you should dilute your cup of wine, and then wash your hands. Because if you wash your hands first, because we don't want you washing your hands first before you dilute the cup of wine according to Beis Hillel. Why? Because then it could be that the cup might be tummy, and it will cause the leftover water on your hand to become tummy, which will in turn cause your hands to be tummy. Says the Gemara, because of the dime. Why do you have to have the water medium? Why don't you just say that if maybe if the cup is tummy, it'll cause your hands to be tummy? Says the Gemara, in klimi tummy adam, because a vessel which is only a second level tumah will not make a person tummy. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. But in the masking shabasaycha, why isn't the cup making the liquid which is inside of it, i.e., the wine, tummy? Says the Gemara, we're talking about a vessel where only the outside of it became tummy. Which Rashi says it can't be talking about an earthenware vessel, because earthenware vessels don't ever just the outside become tummy. It only becomes tummy from when something falls inside and then the whole thing becomes tummy. So we're talking about some type of like metal or something like that. So the outside became tummy, obviously, which is only Midrabanan. Midrabanan said there's no such thing. Either the vessel is totally tummy or not. But Midrabanan, it's possible to have something that if you have liquids that are not an avatuma, right, which literally translated means, you know, father level tummy, meaning the most powerful level of tumah, right? It's not an avatumah, it's a rishon tumah, it's a first level tumah, right? So then, midrabanan, it makes the outside of the vessel, outside of the cup, tummy, but not the inside, right? The toichai tar, the gabai tummy, the inside is still tar, it's pure, and the outside, the outer side is tummy. If this liquid, which is a first level tumah, touched the outside of the vessel, achayrav tmeim. Okay? So the outside of it is going to be tamei. Taychei ve'ayne ve'oznai ve'yadav tahirim. However, the inside of the kli, the upper lip, which kind of curves outward, the handle, you know, like a frying pan type of handle, or the handle which is like a pitcher type of a handle, all those things are tar. So just only the outer side is tummy. But if the inside became tummy, then the whole thing is tummy. So fine. So that's why Basil says we want you washing your hands. We want you washing your hands only after you do the diluting of the cup. Because if you wash your hands first, we don't want the outside of the cup making the liquid on your hands tummy, which will in turn make your hands tummy. Okay? So that's why, according to Basil, we want you washing your hands after you dilute the cup. So now it says the Gemara, what's the basis of the machlokes of you? Shammai says, you're not allowed to use a cup which the outside is tummy, which the outside became tummy from liquid, which was a first-level tumo. Gzeira, why not? Mishum nitzaitzis, because we're worried about nitzaitzis. Now, nitzaitzis literally means sparks, or like little drops that kind of like splash out. So Rashi says that what that means is that we're worried that some drops will splash out onto the outside of the cup, right? And then they will become tummy from the outside of the cup, and then they will cause your hands to become tummy. So, therefore, because Beis Shammai holds that we're worried about this, and therefore we never allow you to use a cup. By the way, it's obvious that this whole sugya is dealing with chaverim, right? The chaverim in the time of Chazal that were careful to eat all of their chulin b'tahara, that even their regular food, even though they weren't kahanim eating tumah or anything like that, they were careful to eat everything b'tahara in ritual purity. So, since the whole reason of Beis Shammai was that we're worried that the outside of the cup will become tummy and will cause the water on your hands to become tummy, which will in turn cause your hands to become tummy, and you will wind up eating with tummy hands and therefore defeat the whole purpose of having washed them. So Beis Shammai says, I don't have to worry about that because I hold that it's usher to use such a cup. You're not allowed to use such a cup. And therefore, so Beis Shammai, I have no reason to worry that if I tell him to wash his hands first, that the leftover water in your hands will become tummy from the cup, because the cup's not allowed to be tummy. Beis Shammai says, no, you are allowed to use a cup with the outside of which is tummy. I mean, he says it's like shchichei, because they say that this whole business of maybe, you know, the drips of water coming from out, from inside the cup to outside and then making your hands tummy, that's not so common. So, but if you would wash your hands first, so then it's very likely that your hands will still be a little bit wet, and will become tamei, that water will become tamei from the outside of the cup, which will in turn turn to your hands tamei, and that's why we tell you to wash your hands after you've diluted the cup. So, up until this point, we haven't seen anything which is going to be applicable to halacha, because we don't have the dinim of tumah v'tahara, because we're all tamei, we're all basically tamei meis, right? But now comes the point which is, yes, Nagel la halacha even for us. Tavar acher, another explanation of Beis Shammai's reason why they want you to wash after you dilute the cup. Teichav l'natil sadaim sudo, because right after you wash your hands, you're supposed to start the meal. My tavar acher, what's this other reason? Achikem lo beis hilo beis shammai. This is what Beis Shammai saying to Beis Shammai. Did chudi amri soas beis shammai b'kli shacher b'mashkin? Because in mshum nitzaitzais. Even though you hold that you're not allowed to use a cup, which the outside is tamei, and therefore there's no reason to worry about my chashash. So therefore, why don't we say, wash your hands afterwards? No. Nevertheless, I hold that this is better. That it's better to wash your hands after you dilute the cup, because immediately after you wash your hands, you're supposed to start the meal. Immediately after you wash your hands, you're supposed to start the meal. So now, what does this mean immediately? So, basically it's like this. To do something like diluting a cup of wine, which was, you have to be really careful about it. If you put not enough, so it's not going to come out right. And if you put too much water, it's also not going to come out right. So it's the type of thing which requires a certain degree of precision. And because it requires a certain degree of precision, it's considered something that, you know, distracts you in between washing and starting your meal, and to the extent that you would have to wash again, right, with a bracha. So anything which is similar to that type of thing, any activity, even if it's not doesn't take so much time, but it's a type of activity, you know, which requires a certain degree of precision and concentration, that is for sure usher to do between washing and hamaitzi. Right? Now, what about talking? What about, taking your jacket off and putting it down somewhere, something like that. So it's like this. When it comes to talking, it's machlekes rishonim, right? But we paskin that lechatchila you're not supposed to talk, right? And even though it's brought in the halacha that to talk for the purpose of the meal, like, if someone would say, could you please bring the salt, or bring me the knife, or, bring the dips to the table, or a pitcher of water, anything that's for the purpose of the meal is totally mutter. Lahalacha, alpi halacha, in between washing and saying hamaitzi, all of that type of talking is totally mutter. Now, everybody knows that nobody does that, right? The most that people do is, right? So, okay, fine, so you saw kedayshimein, and they're even more machmir than the halachis. So that's for sure, basically that's what it comes out in, that even divrei Torah we don't talk, right? But not only that, it's part of the halacha that even just sitting and waiting, you're not supposed to have, an unnecessary pause in between washing and hamaitzi. So that's why, as we mentioned earlier, la halacha we paskin that the person who's going to be saying hamaitzi for everybody should be the last person to wash, so that at least for him, there should be, basically no interruption whatsoever between washing and saying hamaitzi. It is brought in the halacha that if you have like a very large number of people, right, and if they're all going to be waiting for each other to finish washing, so it's going to be, they're going to be sitting there for some time, so preferably each person should have their own bilka, their own roll, or on Shabbos and Yontif, two rolls, so they have lechem mishneh, so that way they can make their own hamaitzi and not wait. Now, I've never seen anybody do them in their own house, and I guess because, people like to be mitzi everybody in the hamitzi. It's like, it's the one time, that we actually do this. So perhaps another way to at least minimize the amount of time that people wait is to have people washing at multiple sinks, not to have everybody washing at the same sink, to have people washing, if possible, at multiple sinks. That way it greatly minimizes the amount of time that people are waiting until the actual hamitzi. Okay, says the Gemara further. Beisham Yomim can have a clay, toner, bottom, and learn in Brisa. Beisham Yomim can have a map of Manichal Shulchan. You wipe your hands on the, whatever, your hand towel, and you leave it on the table. Shemat Ayim Rala Kesis, because if you're going to leave it on the pillow or on the chair or whatever it is, Xamar Shemi Tamu Mashik Shemav Mapas Kesis, we're worried that maybe the liquid, there will still be some liquid kind of like on the surface level of the hand towel, and it will become Tame from the pillow. From the cushion, and then your hands will become tamei from that when you wipe them again later on during the course of the meal. And obviously we don't want you eating with tamei hands. That's the whole point of washing before the meal. So why don't we just say that the cushion will make the hand towel itself tamei? Why do you need why do you have to talk about the water? And because a vessel which is not an av hatumo cannot make another vessel tamei. Why doesn't the cushion, which it sounds like he's sitting on it, so it sounds like some type of a chair, why doesn't it make the person himself tummy? And clean the tummy. Because a vessel which is not an avatuma can't make a person tummy. Vessel says, no, leave the hand towel on the pillow, on the cushion, on the chair. If you leave it on the table, maybe the water left over on the surface level, not completely absorbed into the hand towel, will become tummy from the table. And then it will wind up, it'll touch some of the food to make the food tummy. So obviously we don't want him eating the food if it's tummy. So the Gemara, why doesn't the table itself make the food tummy? We're talking about a table which is only a second level tummah. And a second level tummah does not make something which is chulin, regular foodstuffs, into a shlish, into a third level tummah. Unless there is liquid there, because the liquid midrabanan always becomes a rishon, becomes the first level, and then we'll make the food a second level. Says you're not allowed to use a table which is a second level tummy. Because we're worried that maybe people who are eating tuma that could become a third level will wind up eating on it. Says you're allowed to use a table which is a second level tuma, because people that eat tuma, those kohanim in general are very zealous in the way that they keep the mitzvahs, and they're very careful and they're very punctilious, and therefore there's no reason to worry about that. Another reason why Beis Hillel says leave it on the pillow instead of on the table is that what's the problem? If you leave it on the table, you're worried maybe the food will become tummy, right? If you leave it on the pillow, you're worried maybe that the hands will become tummy. So we would rather take a chance at the hands becoming tummy, because there's no source for washing hands that just the hands being tummy and washing them to make them tar midairaisa. Right? Why is it that I'm more worried about the food on the table than the hands? It's better to take the chance on the hands than on the food. Because there's no basis for hands in of themselves becoming tummy without the whole body becoming tummy. So it's totally midrabanan. So better to take a chance of the hands becoming tummy, which has no, you know, source in the Torah. Whereas food, even though we're talking about a derabanan type of becoming tummy, because the table is a second level tumah, and only midrabanan makes the liquid a first level tumah, which then midrabanan makes the food a second level tumah. But still, food becoming a second level tummy there is such a concept on the deraisa level. So I would rather err on the side of not doing that, even though I'm taking a chance at the hands becoming tummy, which doesn't have any concept on the deraisa level. Alrighty, says the Gemara further. Tanu rabbanon. First, you have to sweep up. Rashi said, if you're eating on the floor, sweep the floor. If you're eating on the tables, clear the table. And then only afterwards do mayim achrenim. Because if you'll do mayim achrenim first, so then the water is going to spritz on the food and it's going to make it disgusting and you're destroying food. Sorry, the Bach takes out this line, so let's just go to the next line. My time mission perun because of the crumbs that are left over. We're worried that you're going to destroy them. You're going to make them unfit for consumption. Says, if the waiter is a learned man, he will take off the crumbs that have the pieces that have a kazais, and he'll leave only those that are less than a kazais. This is a proof for Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said that pieces of food that are less than a kazais, you are allowed to destroy them with your hands, actively. But my commitment, what's the machlag? It's the cell, Savri, as the Shabbos of Shama Shama Arts. Bezalel says, Bezalel says that you're not allowed to use a waiter who's an ignoramus. So since you're always going to be using a waiter who's learned, therefore we're not worried about the fact that the water might spritz on the crumbs left over, because they won't be a kazais, because the learned waiter will take them off, those that are a kazais. And Bishami says, you're allowed to use a waiter who's an ignoramus. And therefore, we have to be worried that there will also be pieces that are a kazais there. So Rav Huna said, in the entire perek, the halacha is like Bishil, except for this, that we pass in like Bishami, that you're allowed to use a waiter who's an ignoramus. And therefore, you have to first sweep up, clear up, and only afterwards do my machreinim. Rabbi Yoshia, Masni Yefkar, Rabbi Yoshia has in the Mishnah that the opinions are flipped, meaning that it's Beis Shammai who says that you can do Mayim Achrenim before clearing the table, and Beis Shammai is the one who says, no, you have to clear the table before doing Mayim Achrenim. So either way you go, we paskin like the opinion that says that you must clear up before doing Mayim Achrenim. Rabbi Yoshia says that nowadays we're not washing our hands in the spot where we ate. People are getting up and chfesa. I mean, they didn't have sinks back then, but going to some other spot to wash their hands for mayim achrenim. So therefore, we don't have to worry about this. However, the Mishabura says that nowadays, that it is the custom to bring, you know, little things for mayim achrenim to the table. So then, in fact, you will have to make sure that you clear up before you do mayim achrenim. And he says, you're supposed to leave some bread on the table for benching. Fine, so put it in the corner of the table where the mayim achrenim won't go anywhere near there. Now, as far as I can tell, you know, I mean, people that are makbid on doing mayim achrenim, people that are particular about doing mayim achrenim, because not everybody is, because it's machlokes in the halacha whether we have to do mayim achrenim nowadays. It's not for now. But those that do mayim achrenim, so I haven't necessarily noticed that they're particular to clear the table before they do the mayim achrenim. So maybe it's because they bring a bowl along together with it, so the water goes into there, so you're not just pouring the water into the table. I'm not sure. But it sounds like the Mishabura that if you do mayim achrenim and you're bringing it to the table and you're bringing it to the table and not doing it at the sink, so then you really ought to be clearing the table beforehand. Maybe it would be best to tell people to do mayim achrenim at the sink, perhaps. I mean, if it's a big crowd, it might not necessarily be so practical to do that. All right. Says the Gemara further, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda was visiting Rav's house. When he made Avdallah, he first said the bracha over the Besamim. And then only afterwards did he say Barim HaYeriyah. Like Pligi, in the mission we saw that both Besamim and Besamim agree that Barim HaYeriyah comes first. This non we saw in the mission of Besamim HaYeriyah and Muslim Besamim HaYeriyah. First you say the bracha of Barim HaYeriyah. Then you bench, then you say the bracha of Barim HaYeriyah. Then you say the bracha of Amavdil. Besamim HaYeriyah and Muslim says, no, first you say Barim HaYeriyah, Barim HaYeriyah. Then you bench, then you say Amavdil. So everybody in the mission agrees that the bracha over the candle comes before the bracha over the incense. Ani Rava Basrei Rava said, after him, Zayde Rabbi Meir, that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda Omer, Leinechli Kvi Samim Vizal Allah Mazin Shibitchiv Avdol Shibasayif. Rabbi Huda says that when you're benching and saying Avdol over the same cup of wine, everybody agrees that the benching comes first and the Hamavdil comes last. Amonechli Kvi Alamor Vizal Basamim, Shibisham Yavim Alamor Vizal Basamim Vizal Alamim Vizal Alamim Vizal Alamim. What's the machlekes? By the candle and the besamim, what comes first? Whether it's barim ha'eri ha'esh first, and then barim besamim, barim besamim first, and then barim ha'eri ha'esh. Rabbi Yochanan noago am kebeis hillel with Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan said that the widespread custom is like beis hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that first we say barim besamim, and then barim ha'eri ha'esh. Further, Meshami Yomish Baruch Huwe. Amar Rava Bebaruch Liyam Avligi Devar Mashma. Everybody gives that if you say the word bara me'eri ha'esh, that it means he created the light of the fire. Kipligi bid by rei. The machlekes is by the word by rei. Meshami sabri by rei dalas the mivra. By rei sounds like he's going to create, which obviously is we're talking about the fire that he created b'sheishes mebreishes during creation of the world. Well, b'sil sabri by rei nami the bara mashal. B'sil says no. Bari also sounds like it's going in the past, and I think that what it means is that we're saying baruch atah Hashem alkeinu malcham by rei. Blessed are you, God our Lord, the King of the universe, the creator of the light of the fire. Meaning we're saying that he is the Bairei, he is the creator of the light of the fire. Okay. Says the Gemara, Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks a kasho. We have a pasuk that says, Yotzer Or Vari Choshech. He sculpts light and creates darkness. Yotzer Harim Vari Ruach. He sculpts mountains and creates wind. So obviously, it's in the present tense. It obviously means, and also, Bairei Hashamayim Minateim, the creator of the heavens and the one who stretched them out. So, obviously, everybody has to agree that the word Bairei in the present tense can mean going in the past tense as well. Everybody agrees that the word Bara, Bairei, could be going in the past tense as well. The real machlek is by Ma'or or Me'airei. Lashon Yachid, singular or plural. Rishami says there's only one light in the fire. Beisol says there are numerous lights in the fire. There are many lights in fire. So since the Gemara's maskana is that there's really no serious machlokes by bara and bairei, so even though the chatchilu we say bairei meirei ha'ish, if you said bara b'diavad you'd say, whereas if you would say ma'or in the singular and not me'irei, since you would thereby be going strictly like Beishame and not like Beisil, you would not be yaitzei even b'diavad, you would have to say the bracha over again. Why can't you make a bracha over the candle of a goy? Because it did not cease. It did not rest. Meaning the goy was either doing melacha by its light or he lit it on Shabbos. So since he was doing something that for a Jew would be considered to be an Avera, therefore, you cannot use it for Havdalah. Elab some of my time, but why not despise the incense of the goy? We're talking about a party of a goy. We're talking about a goyish party. The spices and the incense that they have at their party. Because when goy make a party, min hastam, and when we don't know otherwise, it is assumed to be for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Now, whether that would apply nowadays, that's an interesting question. But back then, it for sure was like that. Wait a minute. Later in the Mishnah, it says you can't make a bracha over the candle or over the incense of Avodah Zarah, which implies that the earlier part of the Mishnah, when it just talks about the candle or the incense of a goy, it's not talking about Avodah Zarah. Amar Rechanin Misura says Rabbi Chanina from the town of Surah, Matam Kalamar. The Mishnah is saying, what's the reason? Matam, never love some shall goyim. Why are you not allowed to make a bracha over the candle or over the incense of goyim? Because min astam, when they make a party, it's for avodah zarah, and therefore it's all just one big avodah zarah thing. Now, basically, the Paiskim say that if it's obvious that this particular incense that the guy has, you know, whether it's, you know, like some spices, or some sweet-smelling spices or something like that, if it's obvious that it's nothing to do with avodah zarah, like let's say the guy's got a storefront, or, you know, it's his spices in his cabinet, right, or something like that, and at home, so then you don't have to worry that it's, that, you know, that it has to do with avodah zarah, right? Then you don't have to worry that it has to do with his avodah zarah, and you would, strictly speaking, be allowed to use it. An interesting thing that comes up in the halacha as well is, what about if goyim use their, they, let's say, take spices and stick it in wine to let the wine, you know, get the smell of the spices, so the wine is stam yenam, which is aser. So even though the spices are mutter to smell, but you're not allowed to use them for avdal because it's ma'us, it's considered disgusting for the mitzvah, since they have the aser wine inside of them. Let's see. Okay, Fine. Alright, weiter. Tanu Rabbanon. Excuse me. When the Rabbi says, Shabbos Morach Alav, light a candle, fire that was not involved in Malacha on Shabbos, so that's what you're allowed to use for Avdallah. Mishalei Shabbos Morach Alav, but if it did not rest from Malacha, then you cannot use it. What does it mean that it wasn't used for malacha? If you mean that it wasn't used for malacha at all, even if it was mutter to do the, if you have a candle that was lit for a woman that gave birth or for a sick person who was possibly either by a Jew if it was a mamish pikuach nefesh, you know, if there was danger to life, or if it was lit by a goy because it was just a regular, really sick person. So since it was mutter, you're allowed to use it for Avdallah. You're allowed to make a bracha over it for Avdallah. No, it means that malacha was done with it, that if a Jew would have done it, it would have been aser. So even though it was done by a goy, like if it was lit on Shabbos, so then you wouldn't be allowed to use it. You also have rice like that. If you had a lantern that was lit before Shabbos and it was burning the whole Shabbos, kulay. So even though it was burning, right, which is malacha, right, its havara is continuously going on the whole Shabbos, but there was nothing usher done with it, and therefore you could use it for Avdallah after Shabbos. Next time, Pesach Hashem, Linether, Daf Nun Gimel.